And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to discuss the topic of political ecumenism. Political ecumenism. And I'm calling the show Political Ecumenism, the Bane of Western Civilization. The Bane of Western Civilization. Because that, I believe, is what we are watching unfold in a whole variety of ways. Not the least of which is what's happening now in the wake of this terrible, terrible tragedy in Nashville, Tennessee, which, you know, as many of you know, we here at Adullam Films and Noise of Thunder Radio, we are based in the Nashville area. We live in a suburb just outside of Nashville, and we've been here for many years, since 2007. So the community has undoubtedly been deeply affected by this terrible tragedy, the shooting that happened at a Christian school and academy, where a woman who was transgender with a rifle and other weapons went into a school, shot up the school, and ended up killing a number of people. Three children and three adults were killed, according to the reports. And right now, there is all of this talk in the media. What's remarkable is that left-wing media is focusing on the transgender character of this woman. She was a woman. She was a 28-year-old woman who had convinced herself that somehow or other she was a man, or she was supposed to be a man, and either had transitioned or was in the process of transitioning. She had gone to this Christian academy when she was younger. Her parents are apparently, reportedly, very traditional Christian people. And from the photos, her family photos that they posted online, it appears that they are a very traditional Christian people. Of course, you can't tell everything from a photograph, but they have that general profile about them, and they simply did not accept the idea that she was going to transition into being a male. They did not accept that. And when she was in their home, she did not allow, or they did not allow her to dress up like a boy. They didn't allow this. Now, it does appear that, you know, they were a traditional family. They encouraged her, you know, with her pursuits as an artist and things like this. But nevertheless, she was overwhelmed by what I believe is this demonically inspired movement of transgenderism. This is part of, if you think about what the Lord Jesus Christ says in the book of Revelation, when he's talking about Jezebel and about her disciples who are teaching fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols and so on. And Jesus says, "For those who have not known the depths of Satan," refers to this perversion as sexual perversion and idolatry as the depths of Satan. And I believe that is what this is all about. This is, we are watching the manifestation of the depths of Satan at work in our country through this movement. Of course, it's also affecting other areas as well. But things are getting darker and darker and more evil and wicked here in the United States of America. So much so they're starting to do stories now about expats, people who have left the country because they see the country going downhill. And there was even a story posted about how, you know, somebody's living in a foreign country, an American citizen living in a foreign country, watching America go down from afar. This kind of thing. which we've never in our history, as long as I can remember, through the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, nobody ever thought of America that way. But it is because the Democrats and the globalists in our system have normalized evil and are now declaring that evil is good and good is evil, and that anybody who stands up for God's law and anybody who stands up for the traditional morality that is derived from God's law, well, that's evil, that's wrong, and on and on and on. I mean, there was even plans before this horrible tragedy happened. There was even plans for unfolding a trans day of vengeance. Trans day of vengeance, right? They're angry. Now, it's no secret that this a woman who was a transgender was angry because the state of Tennessee has passed laws banning drag queen story hour, banning the transitioning of children, underage children, banning that after it was revealed some time ago that they were going to start doing this at Vanderbilt, at the nationally renowned and probably world renowned children's hospital at Vanderbilt University and Vanderbilt Hospital there. They were going to use that renowned facility to carry out transgender surgeries on children, underage children. So now, of course, the LGBT community and their supporters in Hollywood and mainstream media, they're all outraged that the state of Tennessee would not allow child abuse to be normalized in our system, because there's no question that that's exactly what it is. But in response to all of this, the transgender community came up with the Trans Day of Vengeance. Trans Day of Vengeance rallies that they were going to have. And before these rallies officially happened, this shooting took place in Nashville. And it's important to understand, if you're a Christian, for us as Christians, we have to understand this anger and this rage from the trans community and really the entire LGBT and radical left community. This anger is aimed at Christians. There's no question that it is aimed at Christians. In fact, even before this happened, this seems to be the result of very violent propaganda that has been published even before this happened. You have a video game, for example, that was published back in 2022 called Turfenstein 3D, that was modeled apparently after another game called Wolfenstein that was a very popular video game. Anyway, this one is like a transgender version of Wolfenstein. And in Wolfenstein, apparently the characters go through and they kill a bunch of Nazis. In Turfenstein, what they do is you have transgenders who go through and they kill in the game, in the video game, they're shooting people who are like clergy and members of churches and people who oppose transgenderism. Now, here's the description of the game from the YouTube page where it was uploaded back in 2022, in November of 2022. So not that long ago. And here's the description. It says, quote, Turfenstein 3D is a short retro first-person shooter game about escaping a gender fascist concentration camp. Unleash your pent-up fury upon the gender-critical tyrants with an arsenal of deadly weapons and tactics in cathartic bliss. Okay, and then there's a link for where you can play the game. So this dark video game that is created from the transgender perspective, trans people just want to lash out at those who oppose their transgender ideology. Now, in conjunction with that, this is all over the news right now. The presumed governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs. A lot of people think Carrie Lake really won that election, but for all intents and purposes, Katie Hobbs is currently the acting governor of the state of Arizona. Nevertheless, her press secretary, Jocelyn Berry, tweeted a photo of a woman holding a pistol in each hand. Obviously, it looks like a screenshot from a Hollywood movie. And she tweeted this image of a woman holding two guns, pointing them at somebody with this maniacal look on her face, and then typed in the words, quote, "us when we see transphobes." Us when we see transphobes. And apparently she tweeted this just a few hours after, or it was at the time on the tweet. It says 9:30 p.m. March 27, 2023. So it was later that evening, after this was all over the news, that this terrible tragedy happened in Nashville. She, the press secretary for the governor of Arizona, publishes this, giving the impression that it is somehow or other justifiable to use violence against people who oppose transgenderism. Now, of course, it's being reported that this press secretary has resigned. Why? Because of the obvious backlash. And what a horrible, horrible thing for somebody in a position of authority in government to do. But unfortunately, with comments that have been made by Joe Biden, who is the presumed president, and no, we don't believe that Biden was lawfully elected, but he is, for all intents and purposes, he's the guy in the White House right now. But his comments about transgenderism, that U.S. foreign policy is supposedly dedicated to the promotion of LGBT and this transgender delusion throughout the world. I mean, folks, our country is being used for evil and wicked purposes by those people who have gotten, however they've done it, they've gotten into these offices of government and now are using them for wicked purposes. And all of this rhetoric and propaganda undoubtedly influenced what happened in Nashville. And there's no question that the girl who is responsible for it, that she did this out of anger for this new law in Tennessee. And also, it is said, now they're reporting, that she was planning to target family members after she went to the schools. Also, it's worth noting, for those of us who support the Second Amendment and believe that having armed security officers at our schools, at all of the schools in our country, is the real solution, because evil and homicide has been happening for thousands of years. Putting a ban on a certain type of firearm is not going to prevent evil people from carrying out wicked deeds. They have, you know, the Bible tells us, the wicked shall do wickedly. The wicked shall do wickedly. That's going to happen. It's been going on for thousands of years. Passing a ban on a particular type of firearm is not going to prevent evil people from doing what it is that they do, unfortunately. Now, with all of this backlash against AR-15s, they're also reporting, Breitbart News pointed out, I noticed this when I watched the video footage of this transgender suspect walking through the school, that she doesn't have an AR-15. What she has is a Kel-Tec 9mm rifle. So it's one of those rifles that shoots 9mm rounds, which are ordinary pistol rounds, same kind of pistol rounds that are probably the most common round used by police, military, and civilians. But if you watch the video footage, the surveillance footage that they have released, the front doors to the school were locked. And so what she had to do is she had to shoot the doors, the glass. They were glass doors, so she shoots them out with her rifle, smashes the glass, crawls through, and that's how she enters into the school. Well, then they show her footage of her walking up and down an empty hallway. There's nobody there. And she's walking through empty areas of the school for what seems like 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, it goes on for a little while. My point is this. If there had been an armed security guard there, just one person there with a firearm, could have easily stopped her before she was ever able to do harm to anyone. You wouldn't have had to call the police and wait for the police to show up. By the way, the Nashville police did a truly professional job. If you watch the footage, very, very different from what happened in Uvalde or what had happened in Broward County before that, where the police failed to act. These guys did not hesitate. They charged into the school very quickly. They raced down the hallways. They didn't waste any time. They went right after the shooter and put her down very, very quickly. And that's the only thing you can do in a situation like that, sadly. It's the only thing you can do. But they didn't back off. They didn't sit around waiting for somebody to bring them a ballistic shield for an hour or something like that. They were very, very tough and very, very professional. And the video footage shows that. Nevertheless, even though the Nashville police, I think, did the best they could do under the circumstances, it still took them reportedly 14 minutes to arrive, at least according to a report that I was sent by a friend of mine. 14 minutes to arrive. A lot can happen in 14 minutes, and it did, sadly, and people lost their lives as a result, and it was completely unnecessary. What is puzzling to me is that most of the schools in the surrounding area, most all the schools that we have seen, have an armed security guard. I mean, literally a police officer in uniform with a badge and a gun, and typically a police car parked outside the school. And right now, my understanding is that the reason they did not have an armed security guard there at this Christian school is because it's a private school. And so for some reason, they don't provide an armed security guard at a private school like this, which I think should change. I think that we should have politicians demanding that no more money, and we the people should demand that no more money at all be sent to Ukraine for anything until we have protection for all the schools in America. At least one armed police officer stationed at every school in the country. And these random shootings that happen at the schools would come to an end practically overnight. Because the shooter in this case, this trans shooter specifically, avoided another location. She was planning to go to a different school, but chose not to because that school had security and this one did not. We should also mention the part of this terrible tragedy is that that one of the children who was killed was the daughter of the pastor of the church, the senior pastor at Covenant Presbyterian Church. Here is a report on this from Newsweek, who said the senior pastor at Covenant Presbyterian Church confirmed that his 9-year-old daughter was among the 6 killed in Monday's shooting at Nashville at a private Christian elementary school. The article says, quote, in a single sentence statement Tuesday morning, Chad Scruggs, father of Hallie Scruggs, addressed previous reporting that his daughter was among those killed by 28-year-old Audrey Hale. And Pastor Scruggs wrote, quote, through tears, we trust that she is in the arms of Jesus, who will raise her to life once again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's why we are believers in Christ, because the events of this present world are uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. We are told by the Lord, in the world you shall have tribulation, and to be of good cheer, Jesus says, because I have overcome the world. The apostles taught it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And this is, even though this is not necessarily the great tribulation, this is tribulation. This is turmoil. This is trouble. And I believe that this little girl, Hallie Scruggs, the pastor's daughter, is a martyr for Christ, along with the other Christian children who were killed in this terrible event. They are martyrs for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were specifically killed for their Christian faith. They were specifically targeted because they took a stand for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ and for God's standard and righteousness upon the earth. That's why this happened. And of course, this would apply to the teachers as well, those who were Christians, those who were God-fearing, born-again believers. Why were they targeted? Why were they killed? They were killed because of their Christian faith. And so I believe they should be considered as martyrs for Christ, those among them who were Christian, those among them who were. But back to the issue of political ecumenism, why is this happening? Why now is there this whole transgender argument happening in our media, in the schools? Why is it that these transgender people honestly think that they somehow or other have equal footing, that their counter-morality, which operates in denial of virtually everything that our country has believed for 400 years, how is it that they have the impression and their supporters that they can overturn 400 years of Christian morality in our country at the drop of a hat? And the answer is because of political ecumenism. And political ecumenism, as we define it, is the idea that all religions or belief systems are somehow or other one and the same, and must be counted co-equal by law, especially in the Western world, because many other parts of the world don't accept this doctrine at all, but it has been imposed in the historically Christian countries of the West. They begin by saying all religions are one and the same, and then they say, therefore, Christianity cannot claim an exclusive right to places of power and control in the Western world. So Christian morality, Christian teaching, the Bible cannot hold a superior place above other belief systems. You have to allow the Bible along with the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita and the Hindu Vedas and the Communist Manifesto and all these other beliefs, they all have to be counted equal to Christianity. And now the progression of that has taken us to this point where now the ancient pagan beliefs about sodomy, homosexuality, and transgenderism, because yes, this existed in the ancient world. There is a reason why Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5 says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. Why do we have that command from the Lord? Because transgenderism is not a new idea. There is nothing new under the sun. This is an ancient pagan perversion condemned by God through his law. All right, so we are getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk about, well, we're going to talk more about political ecumenism, and I'm going to cite some more examples and play some audio from things happening up in Scotland. Also, we're going to hear audio from Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda, who is known for her history of radical leftism. She's known as Hanoi Jane because she favored the communists during the Vietnam War. Well, now she's on record when she was on The View calling for violence against conservatives who oppose the radical left. But we'll learn more about that when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about political ecumenism, the bane of Western civilization. I have for a long time believed that if Western civilization falls, if Christianity is overthrown in the Western world, now it doesn't mean that Christianity is overthrown itself, but if Christianity, its presence, its authority in the Western world is overthrown, it will be due to political ecumenism. Political ecumenism, which we are watching unfold virtually every day during our generation. That is what's happening. Okay? Political ecumenism, by which they say that now all of these foreigners, many of them Muslim, but some Hindus and Buddhists and even atheists, doesn't matter, of any belief system coming in to the Western world must be counted equal. Their belief must be counted equal with Christianity. And Christianity cannot claim an exclusively important place in the Western world. This is not only how they have falsely interpreted the Constitution, but it's happening in countries like England, where there's absolutely no question that English history is a history of Christianity for more than 1,000 years. But here's an article from Breitbart News, and the headline says, "Leaders of UK, Scotland, Ireland, London, now all of South Asian heritage." Now all of South Asian heritage. Now, just so we understand, they typically in England and Western Europe, they refer to Muslim immigrants as Asian men or Asians. We don't see them that way. That for us, Asian is people from China or Japan or North and South Korea, but they refer to the Muslims often as Asians. Okay, so here's what the story says. "Politicians of South Asian heritage seem to be having a moment in the British Isles, with politicians claiming Indian and Pakistani history, holding several of the most powerful political offices in the islands. Humza Yousaf was elected the leader of Scotland's ruling left separatist Scottish National Party on Monday, and on Wednesday will be sworn in as First Minister. In doing so, the Pakistani heritage politician will join several other South Asians dominating the top of British politics, an impressive achievement in a country claimed by some to be stricken by considerable levels of institutional racism." Okay, So they continue to accuse England and the Western world of being racist, never mind the fact that it was Western European Anglo-Saxon people who developed the whole idea of racial equality, something that none of the non-white countries actually believes in. If you go and research them, they typically don't believe anything about racial equality. In their countries, they're not looking to promote or advance white people or people who are of some alternative race into a position of power and authority. Not at all. Quite the contrary. They often have laws to prevent it. Okay. Then they go over a list of all these different leaders and so on. This is what's happening, folks. Here you have foreigners now who are gaining the ascendancy in these historically Christian countries. These are not Christian people, typically. They're Muslims, and maybe one of them is a Hindu or something. But they don't have Christian beliefs. They have these globalist beliefs. And their globalist beliefs are really collectively about advancing pagan ideology. That's what it's about. Pagan politics invading the Western world. We are in a situation right now. They're in a situation over there in the UK, just like Alfred the Great. But rather than heathen armies landing on their shorelines in Viking boats and ships and so on, and storming the beaches and raiding their villages and taking over, what's happening now is they're being brought in by these socialist traitors in their system, and they're bringing them in through immigration, mass immigration, giving these people financial aid, taking the tax dollars from all the people of the UK and handing it over to the Muslims and the other foreigners that they're bringing in, setting them up in apartments, giving them scholarships, putting them at Oxford and Cambridge and all these leading universities and this kind of thing, giving them the education, the, you know, a much better education than the average English student is going to get at a higher level. And then when they graduate and so on, they're advancing them politically in the system. Now they are beginning to dominate in the UK. And it's been moving forward a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Now, this guy who was just elected in Scotland, Humza Yousaf, you go and look this guy up. No sooner does he get elected than he gives a speech saying there's too many white people in Scottish politics. Now, this guy is a Muslim, again. He knows full well that if he were in any Muslim country in the world, the Muslims would thoroughly and completely discriminate against all non-Muslims. And if he were in his native Pakistan, his fellow Pakistanis would completely discriminate against all non-Pakistanis, especially Christians. They would utterly and completely, which they do every single day right now. Just go study what's going on in Pakistan. But this guy, Humza Yousaf, is welcomed into Scotland. He gets an education. They allow him to be a part of the politics of Scotland, even though Scotland, with the home of John Knox would be turning over in his grave at the thought that they got some Muslim operating in their political system. He would absolutely denounce it completely. That you are bringing an idolater in and giving an idolater power over Christian people. Absolutely unacceptable. To do that voluntarily, it's one thing if God brings the Babylonians to invade your country and there's nothing you can do about it, that's one thing. But to voluntarily appoint an idolater to an office of government over Christian people is a violation of God's clearly stated commandments. And Muslims are idolaters. They worship the moon god Allah. They do not worship the God of the Bible. They do not worship the one true God, despite what Vatican II says. All right, let's listen to Humza Yousaf's speech against white people in power in Scotland, a historically white country. Let's hear what he had to say. Here it is. Listen.
That 99% of the meetings I go to and the only non-white person in the room. But why are we so surprised when the most senior positions in Scotland are filled almost exclusively by those who are white? Take my portfolio alone. The Lord President, white. The Lord Justice Clerk, white. Every High Court judge, white. The Lord Advocate, white. The Solicitor General, white. The Chief Constable, white. Every Deputy Chief Constable, white. Every Assistant Chief Constable, white. The Head of the Law Society, white. The Head of the Faculty of Advocates, white. Every Prison Governor, white. And not just Justice. The Chief Medical Officer, white. The Chief Nursing Officer, white. The Chief Veterinary Officer, white. The Chief Social Work Advisor, white. Almost every trade union in this country headed by people who are white. In the Scottish Government, every Director General is white. Every chair of every public body is white. That is not good enough.
Okay, so here we got a guy who says there's just too many white people in Scotland. Too many white people holding offices in government. Now, we don't hear about too many Arabic people in Saudi Arabia or too many Chinese people in China or too many black people in Nigeria or too many Japanese people in Japan. We don't hear about that. We only hear about too many white people in the historically white countries of the Western world. That's the only time we hear that kind of rhetoric. And it is very Marxist, globalist type rhetoric. It is a form of psychological warfare. This is what we've got to understand, not only in the United States, but really everywhere in the Western world. It's important to understand that, yes, this kind of brainwashing and indoctrination, when it gets into the schools and the media and the politics, can ultimately have catastrophic consequences, as we saw in Germany with the Holocaust, with the systematic anti-Jewish rhetoric. In Rwanda, with years and years of rhetoric against the Tutsis in a similar manner, and in South Africa and Rhodesia against the white populations there, there are target groups that you have whenever these socialists get into power somewhere and they begin to systematically lay the groundwork for a greater persecution, possibly even a Holocaust or a genocide that they're trying to set up later on. Now, personally, I do not believe that the powers of the Vatican, the World Economic Forum, and the European Union have brought millions and millions of Muslims into Western Europe for no reason, or just because they want to mix things up. I certainly don't think they've done it out of charity, which is what they pretend. No, I believe they are planning a future Holocaust. And this Holocaust may or may not be against Jewish people in part, but I believe it will definitely be against the Christian population of Western Europe. God forbid it should happen. We hope it does not happen. But they know, the people who have brought all these Muslims in, they know full well Muslims have absolutely no regret or remorse whatsoever for mass murdering Christians and Jews and any non-Muslims anywhere in history. You don't see Muslim leaders getting up and offering apologies for their crimes against non-Muslim groups over the last 1,400 years. They don't apologize for stuff like that because that is part of their religion. And this rhetoric of violence, there's a lot more of it. I mean, we talked about it earlier with this transgender movement that is now engaging in more and more violent type rhetoric against Christians and conservatives and those who oppose the transgender beliefs, which really have no place in our country at all until you get to Barack Obama in his second administration. I'm trying to think back. I don't even know if Obama mentioned transgenderism from 2008 to 2012 in any significant way. There were discussions about so-called gay marriage, but transgenderism seems to have shown up during his second administration. But whatever the case may be, it is a new belief system that has just sprung up here in the last 10 years and now is making all of these demands for accommodation, and laws have to be changed, and language has to be changed. Now gay language has to be adopted. Transgender language has to be adopted. And if people don't use the trans language, boy, they're getting very, very upset, getting very angry. You don't use the right pronoun. All right, now, before we went to the break, I made mention of Jane Fonda, who is to this day notorious because of how she behaved during the Vietnam War. Of course, she was a much younger woman back then, but she's never, it doesn't appear to me anyway, that she has changed at all significantly. She was a radical leftist activist as a young woman, and the people on the left admire her. They see her as a left-wing icon. She was anti-war, supposedly, but not really. The anti-war activists were really anti-American. They were trying to do everything they could to engage in psychological warfare against the United States, against the military, against any effort in Vietnam to stop the advance of communism there. Why? Because ultimately they favored communism. So they did everything they could to sabotage through propaganda and activism the efforts of the United States in the Vietnam War. Okay, well, now here recently, Jane Fonda was on an episode of The View, and they were talking about this whole situation with Roe v. Wade and the abortion laws and so on, and how this has now been overturned by the Supreme Court, and what should the response be of the liberal left-wing side of our country. And let's listen to what Jane Fonda says, what she says in particular. She mentions the word murder. She literally uses that word. She uses it more than once. And then they try to kind of downplay it on The View. But let's listen to what happened. And then we'll come back and talk about it, because there's a visual element of this. If you haven't seen it, you kind of have to go and watch it. But I want to play the audio first, and then we'll talk about it. All right, here it is. Listen.
We have experienced many decades now of having agency over our body, of being able to determine when and how many children to have. We know what that feels like. We know what that's done for our lives. We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
Women will rise up. That's the activists.
That's Jane
speaking, yeah. And she probably will get a Nobel Prize.
But it's the truth. It is the truth. I'm not going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous.
What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that. That's
you don't know. They'll pick up on that. And
yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding.
Well, let me talk to you about. Let's move on and talk about Jane's activism.
Okay, now what you can't see in the clip there is when they say, she's just kidding, and they try to play it off that way, and they say, she's just kidding. Jane Fonda looks over at them, gives them a sharp flash of her eyes as if to suggest she's not really kidding. That is the expression on her face. Now, of course, the whole thing can be played off as, oh, well, you know, yeah, it's just a talk show and nobody's being serious, supposedly. But the fact that she would say that, just think about that. That she would use the word, you know, what do you suggest doing? And she doesn't say activism. She doesn't say, you know, we'll take to the streets and we're going to protest down at City Hall. She doesn't say anything like that. She uses the word murder. That's the word she chooses to use. And she uses it twice. She makes it very clear that that's what she intended. And some people are drawing attention to the fact that this is just one of the things that happened several weeks before this shooting at a Christian school in Nashville, the one that just happened here recently. And it's this kind of rhetoric that is being employed by the left. If you oppose their policies, if you don't go along with whatever they want, they are claiming some right of violence and, yes, possibly even murder to force their opinions on our society. Of course, those who know history know this is really nothing new for the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, just go study Bloody Kansas, or Bleeding Kansas, as it was also called, which is a series of violent acts against the people in the state of Kansas when Kansas was being formed as a new territory back in the 19th century, and they did not want the slave trade in their state. And you had radical Democrats who went down there and used violence and, yes, murder to try and force their opinion on the people in Kansas. So this is, of course, what's behind Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Think of all the violence and in some cases, killings that they were guilty of when they were rioting across the country for months and months. And folks, let's not forget that Black Lives Matter, these lesbian witches who founded that organization, they admitted that they were well-trained Marxists who were trained by the former leaders of the Weather Underground. Weather Underground, who had a plan back in the 1970s to set up these re-education camps in America for dealing with American patriots and people who believe in our Constitution, who would mostly be Christians and conservatives. That's generally it, and they've never given up this plan. But this rhetoric and this dialogue from them more and more. I mean, you think about The View and somebody like Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda, while she's always been radical, she still at the same time has been part of mainstream Hollywood. And now mainstream Hollywood, not just Jane Fonda, but all of those who are considered mainstream Hollywood, including companies like Disney, are embracing this whole LGBT transgender evil, wicked movement that is just becoming more and more demonic and satanic. It's now being reported that a bunch of trans activists are protesting Kentucky's ban against a child trans surgery and so on. They've got some guy there. There's an article on InfoWars where they've got some guy, some trans guy with makeup on, and he's literally wearing devil Baphomet horns on his head, obviously trying to look like a demon. Obviously. You go back and you look at what I have always seen as the very first beginning of drag queen story hour, where you got a drag queen guy dressed up with these big devil horns coming from the top of his head. And that was happening at the Michelle Obama library, it was reported. This thing has been demonic from the beginning, but it's getting darker and darker and more evil. And what we have to recognize, learning the lessons of history and also the warnings of Scripture about persecution. When God gives us warnings of persecution, it doesn't mean that we necessarily have to allow ourselves to be persecuted if the Lord gives us the opportunity to prevent it from happening, as in the story of Esther. There were warnings of really an ancient Holocaust that was going to happen against the Jewish people, but Esther took action and was able to prevent it. In the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul was warned that certain men were planning to kill him, Paul took action. He sent a warning to the captain of the guard, and the captain of the guard then made use of the powers of government to protect Paul, to keep him from being killed by these men who were out to get him. So warnings of persecution don't necessarily mean that we have to just sit here and wait to get persecuted. Yes, we can speak out. We can take action. We can demand that government stand up and protect us. Why? Because that's what government's supposed to do. Government's supposed to operate as the minister of God, Romans 13. A revenger to execute wrath against those who practice evil, and good and evil are determined by God based on God's law. And we know that we've got forces at work who don't agree to that. They think they are a law unto themselves. They think they can just make up whatever rules they want to make up. That's the whole problem of political ecumenism. That's the whole problem of it, because it suggests that anybody's beliefs, no matter how bizarre, how pagan, how evil they are, should somehow or other be counted equal and receive equal protection with Christianity. And it's part of the reason why I made the film True Christian History of America, to show that, no, that's not at all what was intended by our forefathers. And the American Revolution did not change that. It was really the greater changes have happened in the 20th century, in the post-World War II generation. Now, at an international level, how this is all working. While America's being sabotaged from within, you have the internationalists. You have the United Nations. The United Nations has now declared officially March 15th is called the International Day to Combat Islamophobia. International Day to Combat Islamophobia. Even though it's the Muslims who are all over Africa and the Middle East burning down Christian churches, raping, robbing, and murdering Christian people, enslaving Christian women and children, sometimes men. That's ongoing. That is happening virtually every day somewhere in the world. There's virtually no reports anywhere of Christians or anybody else going around attacking Muslims. That just generally does not happen. There may be individual cases, but that's the exception. It's not the rule. But it is definitely the rule that Muslims are persecuting and attacking Christians continually. Raymond Abraham has an article on this. It's on Raymond Ibrahim with an I, I-B-R-A-H-I-M, RaymondIbrahim.com. And he's got an article posted here a short time ago, and the headline is Combat Islamophobia Day Exposes UN's Rank Hypocrisy on Mosques versus Churches. It's important to remember that the United Nations is an anti-Christ organization. It is not a Christian organization at all. It makes calculated decisions against Christianity in favor of Islam, in favor of socialism and communism. It is an anti-Christ institution. There's no question about that. And so you just think about follow the link to UN.org. And where it says International Day to Combat Islamophobia, 15 March. Now think about that. To combat Islamophobia. You got to fight against Islamophobia. What is Islamophobia? Well, they actually have a definition of it. Islamophobia, they say, is a fear, prejudice, and hatred of Muslims that leads to provocation, hostility, and intolerance by means of threatening, harassment, abuse, incitement, and intimidation of Muslims and non-Muslims, both in the online and offline world. That's Islamophobia. Notice there's no mention of violence, because then somebody would have to say, okay, can you provide any examples of violence? And no, they can't really provide any examples. So it's all about prejudice, fear, hatred, hostility, threatening, harassment, abuse, incitement, etc., all of which these terms are terms that can be interpreted several different ways. And with what they're doing in Western Europe, where they're passing laws to make it a crime for you to even speak against the Prophet Muhammad, this is what some people are calling creeping Sharia, that they are effectively, systematically bringing in elements of Islamic law, which forbids anyone to speak against Islam. And the fact that the Jesuits are completely in support of all this, and you have their program at Georgetown University called the Bridge Initiative, which is entirely dedicated to combating Islamophobia. Now ask yourself a question. Is it just a coincidence that the Jesuits at Georgetown and the United Nations have the same agenda? Is that just a coincidence? Of course, we don't believe it's a coincidence at all. We believe this is all by design. Our country and indeed the entire Western world are being manipulated in very, very disturbing ways. But what's really happening, brothers and sisters? What is really happening? Well, we believe that what we're watching right now is the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2, in no small part. The fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2, which says, verse 1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Meaning, the word anointed there means Christ. And that, in fact, is the way the Apostle Peter quotes that verse. He says, "against the Lord and against his Christ" in the New Testament. "The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Okay, now breaking the bands asunder and casting away the cords is about getting rid of the restraints of God's law, of God's commandments. And this is what they're saying. They're saying, let's break these boundaries, these commands that we have from the Bible and from Christianity. Let's get rid of all this stuff and we'll just do whatever we want. And this is the heathen raging really against God, imagining vain things. The rulers take counsel together. Where are they taking counsel together? Well, they're taking counsel at the United Nations, at the World Economic Forum, at the European Union, at the Bilderberg gatherings, at all these different groups and clubs and so on. What are they doing? They're all taking counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, because that is what all of this is aimed at doing. It's all aimed at undermining the Christian world. But we have verse 4. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision." This is what we've got to bear in mind, that despite all of this evil, wicked rebellion of the kings of the earth, the rulers and the heathen and so on, raging, in spite of all that, God in the heavens, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." So ultimately, God's will is going to prevail. We know that. And so you go down from Psalm chapter 2, where verse 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, capital S-O-N, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Praise God. Praise the Lord. And that's where all of this is headed, brothers and sisters. That's what we've got to keep in mind. That yes, the heathen are raging. These anti-Christian powers are making war against the Lamb of God. But the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. All right, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.